I want us to go back this morning to a reading that we had there in the book of Exodus and chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. And Moses said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." We've heard many a time, and it's one of the experiences I often go back to, but we've listened to the testimony of Joshua in chapter 23 and verse 14, where he says, giving counsel to the tribes, that not one promise that the Lord has spoken has fallen to the ground. Not once have they been disappointed over what God has said he would do. And that word of testimony that Joshua raises, it echoes with ourselves and our experience of God. And we together speak of the faithfulness. We speak of the reliability. We speak about the dependability upon God. When we're confronted in our society with change almost every moment round about us, it is refreshing and encouraging of us that we're able to turn to God time and time again, no matter what our circumstance, where we are or what we face. You and I can turn to God, and we know that he's always going to be the same in his dealings with his people. Now that's a testimony that Joshua raised. But how did he arrive at it? How did he get to that place, and why was he able to speak in that way? Quite simply, because of all of the things that he'd been through in life. Joshua's life, our own, when we look at it, we can always speak of the countless tight corners we've been in. Many times, no obvious way of escape. No means of protection, no source of provision. And yet, in that kind of situation, whatever the details about it, God has surprised us. God has surprised us so often, demonstrating time and time again both his interest and his care, but also his power and his ability to look after his people. And therefore that builds up in the life of Joshua and in the life and experience of God's people, layer upon layer upon layer of the same truth. God is faithful. But as that truth builds up, so there comes side by side with it another truth. If God is that kind of God and he is faithful in that kind of way in these circumstances, then God requires of you and me, God looks for our trust in him. God is looking for our obedience and our commitment to him. If he has committed himself to us on that scale, then the Lord is looking for that same response back from us to him. We have every reason to obey him, and we have no reason whatsoever to rebel against him. That is the testimony of this man Joshua. So how did it start? We've seen how it arose. How did it start? Well, it starts very similar to what we've got here in our reading and in our situation in the book of Exodus. Let's try to put in a picture that gives us more detail and application to the lessons we have here. First of all, these people have just come out of Egypt. If you go back to chapters 11, 12, 13 and 14, you'll find there that's the culmination of the plagues, the killing of the firstborn, the crossing of the Red Sea. That's chapter 14. They've only been 3 days in the wilderness. 600,000 men. On top of that, wives and families. So it's a huge number of people to move through the wilderness. It is an enormous logistical problem to provide for so many. But God has committed himself to the salvation of these people, taking them out of Egypt. And he's also promised to take them into the promised land. And in between these two markers, God is going to provide everything for them along the way. And it's not long before that's put to the test. God calls the Christian to his son. God promises that he's going to bring us into glory. But what about the space in between? In our Christian life, God says that he will be a God to us as he was a God to them. It's not long before they put him to the test. It's not long before we're putting him to the test as well. And God will not let his people down at that first step. At the first step when they go out with him, the Lord is going to show that he is true to what he has said and who he is. You can imagine the way in which these people were fragile. They're very weak. They're not strong in their faith. After all, they've been slaves for years and they've just come out of Egypt. And they're very tentative in all that they're doing and following the Lord. And it would be very easy and quick to set them back and to rock them in their faith. They're very fragile, they're very weak. And this is the first step on the first test. And the Lord is not going to let them down. He's not going to test them beyond their ability. But as the test comes, the water and the bread here, the Lord is going to continue to insist. And he's going to require from them as he requires from you and me every step of the way. There is one feature in their life and in the Christian's life today that the Lord constantly looks for. He's looking for that trust, commitment, obedience. That we follow him, committing everything to him. That's what comes at the start of our Christian life. That's what continues through the life, and that's what happens at the end. Oh yes, there's going to be times down the road of our Christian life when the testing is going to be more severe. Perhaps it's going to go on for a long time. Perhaps we've got nothing at all to hold on to except a promise God has made and given to us. And there's a delay in the answer coming to it. And we're testing. Are you going to hold on another day? Are you going to hold on when everything else is pointing against it? Are you going to hold on? That's the kind of hard testing that comes. But that's later on in the Christian's life. When there's no sign of encouragement at all for you. But here it's different. God is starting to do a great thing for them. And the Lord is God is not going to falter at the first step. In his love and in his power, and in the most surprising of ways, he provides for his people then, and he provides for his people now. All of these things that we've spoken about, the different details we could put together, they're all swept up together in one great passage of assessment, one great summary of all of this. Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. Let me just read it for you, a portion of it just now. You will remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. There you have it. Obedience and testing of their trust in him. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. There we have the Lord's provision for them. Manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And as they went along that road, listen what it says next. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thy, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. God was indeed true to his word. What he was to them, a God. The God. Testing times. And he never let them down once. The testimony of Josh. The summary of Deuteronomy. And that brings us now to what we've got before us this morning. A specific example of what we've been talking about there. All that Joshua says, everything that appears in Deuteronomy, these are just words, you might say. Somebody will turn around and say, yeah, that's just words. Well, let's get behind the words. And let's look at a specific example which built up the truth and the experience that we've just been outlining. A specific example. The water and the manna. I don't want to linger too much on any one aspect of it. I want to get the broad picture to fit in with what I've said at the very beginning. A specific example. So the first thing I want us to think about here is sweet water. Then I want us to think of sour words. And then thirdly, I want us to think of showers of bread. That's what this passage is speaking about. So let's take the first of these, sweet water. Now remember what we said, these people have just come out of Egypt. They're just 3 days out of slavery. 600,000 plus to walk and be on the move. They've got to take some food with them. They've got to take some water with them. But remember, water, well, a gallon of water weighs 10 pounds. So you can't carry too much of it. It's a heavy thing to carry. But not only that, you and I can do without food for days, weeks even. But we cannot do without water. You can only last a few days without water. So it's vital that you have it, but it's heavy to carry. So you need to find it along the way. 3 days, perhaps they were getting to the end of their resources, and they started looking for it. After all, it wasn't just two or three on a picnic. This was 600,000 people. That requires a lot of water. And they came and they saw this place called Marah. And as soon as they saw it, you can almost imagine the way in which they started to walk just that bit quicker. And they wanted to get there sooner. And as they came with all the expectation, and as they stooped to drink it, it's bitter. And listen to what it says in verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses. I want us to linger on that one word just now. They grumbled against the Lord. And it wasn't just now that they did it. It's something that you see in the life of these people all the way through these pages and the experience in the wilderness. It's something that they were doing time and time and time again. Here, it's with the water. Go to chapter 16 and verse 2. You'll find it. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. It's not just simply that they were talking in whispers. That's not what it means. They were complaining. Who is this man? Why did he take us here? We've come here so that he'd kill us. Now that's the kind of complaining and murmuring that they were engaged in. It wasn't just here with the bread and the water. When you go on to the book of Numbers chapter 14, and they came to the place called Kadesh Barnea, and they were going to go into the promised land, and they said it's a land that's rich and a land that's fertile and abundant, exactly what we need. But their spies came back with a report of giants and walled cities. And you read in Numbers chapter 14 verse 2 that they began to murmur. They began to complain. If you go a few chapters further on into Numbers chapter 16 this time, and you'll find that Miriam, the sister of Moses, and she was complaining, why does he have all the positions of authority? Why is he the leader? Why not me? And they were murmuring against Moses and Aaron. They were complaining. Why did God choose him and not me? You see what they were doing? Complaining and grumbling against the Lord. The slightest change, of course, the slightest change, of course, from plain sailing, and they would do it. They complained about their providences. They complained about their lot. They complained about their circumstances. The way the Lord was dealing with them, we can do it ourselves. The way the Lord is dealing with us, we can complain. They were quick to forget, as we are quick to forget. They were quick to forget. Just 3 days, they had crossed the Red Sea in a most remarkable way. They forgot. But the important thing is this. They failed to see the spiritual nature of what was happening. You see, they thought it was only water. It was just simply thirst. It's only a few drops of H2O. It's only water. But it was much more than that. This was one of these crossroads that God brought into their life and God brings into our lives. Testing us, do we obey and trust the Lord as he requires of us? Yes, we can trust the Lord where things are going well, a fair weather Christian. But what happens when things are not going just so well? What happens when the storm comes in our face and the rain gets on our back? What about then? What do we do then? Do we grumble? Do we complain? Or do we just keep going, trusting in the God who has done so many good things for us in the past? Things might not work out for us. Something ordinary. It's the same kind of test that comes to us. The water. Something ordinary comes into your life or mine. It doesn't work out the way we wanted it to work out. How do we react? Do we complain? This then is a testing of them at the waters. Bitter to begin with, but the Lord, we'll come to it just in a minute, put that tree into it and made that sweet water. It's not long into the Christian journey before tests come our way. But they come. And notice something important here as well. Notice the way in which there was a very quick answer to their problem. They complained about the bitterness, and the Lord immediately gave directions to Moses to put the tree in to sweeten the water that they could drink it. There was a very quick answer to their problem because they had just set out. They were fragile. They were weak. Their faith was delicate. And is that not the way the Lord deals with his people? Sometimes we've been through a battle. Sometimes we've been through something and we're spiritually flattened. And we're tested. And the Lord, testing our faith, do we still trust him and still rely upon him, and we're facing a problem we've got to deal with. Sometimes the Lord quickly intervenes to solve the problem so that we're not tested beyond our ability. Or again, when you set out on the Christian path and you've got that fragile trust in the Lord and you don't know what you're facing and you don't know what you're discovering, and the Lord deals with you in the same way. You're fragile and you're delicate, and a testing of your obedience comes, and the Lord doesn't linger in bringing a solution to that problem. He doesn't let you down at the first step. He tests you, gently building up your faith to trust in him. The sweet waters, the Lord dealing with his people. When we come to verse 26, that's the passage that unlocks it all for us, you see. It was more than just water that was involved here. The Lord was putting them to the test. The Lord was speaking to them and the Lord was dealing with them, and they were tested whether they were going to obey what God had said. Were they listening? Are we listening? Not just enough that we listen. Do we apply it in detail? Not enough that we just apply it in detail. Do we obey it fully? That's what the Lord is looking for from these people and from us. The Lord encourages them. The Lord encourages us then, when we're fragile and when we're weak. And notice what happened here. They were being tested about the water. And when the test was over, and when the issue had been settled, would they or would they not follow the Lord? Would they trust him and give up the complaining? When that issue had been settled, see what the Lord does. Not only did he solve the problem quickly by putting the tree in the water, but he brought them at the very end of verse 27. He brought them to a place that was abundant with water. You see, the water was a testing of them to begin with. But when that had been solved and settled, it wasn't a problem to them anymore, and the Lord gave them more water. The Lord might test you and me. Something in our life, something that challenges the priority the Lord ought to have. It can be so different for you and me. But something comes into our life. Something breaks in and challenges that position the Lord has in our thinking and in our living. And there's a dilemma. And there's a testing. Are we going to go and follow that, whatever it is, fill in the details yourself? Or are we going to stick to following the Lord? And that's the test. Which way are you going? And when the issue is settled, when you follow the Lord and stay with him, when you trust him still through that testing time, when you go through that testing time, how often you find that the very thing that was the test, it's no longer a problem to you anymore. It's no longer a test of your commitment to the Lord. It's no longer a challenger to the position of the Lord. It's now being dealt with. So often you find the Lord brings that very thing into your life because it doesn't challenge him and it doesn't threaten you anymore. It's been dealt with. The water has been a point and period of testing, but they've come through it. They've learned their lesson. The Lord has taught them at least, and He brings them into this water. Testing times. I don't want to go on much further. I indicated the 3 points we were going to go on. We're not going to cover them all today. Let's just hold them maybe until next week. But I want to move on to take up at least one other thing. Not only the sweet water, but I want us also to think about the sour words. Chapter 16, they've been on the road for a wee while longer. Yes, remember we said you can't do without water for long, but you can do without food for a little bit longer than that. And obviously they've been down the road and they've got not only the resources of water dealt with, but now they're beginning to see their food going in to decline as well. So they need to get food as well as drink. And they begin to complain again. Well, it was better for us to be back in Egypt. Why did the Lord bring us out of Egypt? Why have we not stayed there? Food was there 3 square a day. Sour words against the Lord. Oh yes, they were remembering through rose-tinted glasses. They were filtering the things that they were remembering. Life was easy then. That's the impression they're creating. Others provided for them. But remember, why did others provide for them? They provided for them because they were slaves. The slaves had the food, basic, ordinary, plain food. Nothing special, nothing fancy, but ordinary, plain food given to all the slaves. But they were slaves still. They forgot the suffering. And so they turned on their leaders. You brought us out, and you brought us out to kill us. Hard, sour words. Words that cut and hurt sore. But they were just learning. They were just learning what it means to follow the Lord. Not only did we see the way in which the Lord immediately intervened to bring an answer like the tree to sweeten the water and bring them into the abundant provision of these 70 palm trees. Something else we get out of this. Later on, when you go, as we said, to the complaints that they were making in Numbers chapter 14, there they are on the Kadesh Barnea. They're about to go into the land of promise. They're about to go in and possess the land the Lord had given to them. It was a long time, longer than 3 days, they'd been down the track. And they started to complain. But this time, God was angry with them. They ought to have known better. They ought to have remembered the way the Lord had dealt with them so far. They ought to have remembered God dealing with them as a child, bringing them up, rearing them, tending them, caring for them, developing their character, their faith, their trust, bringing them on. But as He brings them on, He expects also for them to operate and to work as His children, to put into practice what they've discovered and what He's taught them. To put into practice the way in which He is truly a loving God to them. And they didn't. And that's why they spoke these sour words. And so the anger of the Lord came upon them. Yes, at Kadesh Barnea and in other places where they were complaining and murmuring against God. But here, no. There is no record of God being angry with them here. They are just setting out on the Christian path. They're just setting out on the Christian way. It's a new discovery they're making. They're learning so much each day, each step that they take. There's something fresh to come into their mind to be taught in the school of experience and practical, hard-nosed living. They've got to learn and learn quickly. Sometimes they falter and stumble, and the Lord comes beside to lift up that stumbling child. And the Lord, oh yes, they may complain. They may grumble. But the Lord deals tenderly, even with these sour words. If you go to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, there you have the psalmist in a very similar circumstance to what we've got here. He's looking at life round about him. And he has seen the prosperity of those that don't fear God. And he's saying, why is that happening? Why are they getting on? Why is life so comfortable for them? Here am I. I'm trying to live as a Christian. I wash my hands. I cleanse my heart. I look after my life. I try to live an open, honest, upright life, but I end up with problems and with difficulties along the way. Life is hard. And then he lets slip. He lets slip just a little thought from the depth of his soul that finds an echo with ourselves. Sometimes when we're in that tight corner, sometimes we say this as well. Does God know what's happening to me? Is there knowledge in the heavens high of things on earth below? Have we not said that ourselves sometime? Spoken these words, sour words against our God. But we're learning. We're learning all the time. And the Lord deals tenderly and graciously with us. But if we've been taught, and if we've been in that kind of situation in the past, and if we've been in situations where we've learned the faithfulness of God and the reliability and dependence of our God, if we've been in a tight corner and we've known Him, yes, the Lord saves and the Lord delivers, and we are not prepared to apply that in the next circumstance, in the next tight corner, then we shouldn't be surprised if God is angry with us. We can be slow. And the Lord deals patiently. But the Lord also expects us to learn. It's a problem we find round about us today. We commit ourselves to the Lord. And that brings us into a conflict with the devil. The delight of the Christian is for the Lord Jesus Christ. We reorganize our lives according to the pattern that He shows us and what He requires of us. We want to reflect that new priority of His love and His commitment in our life. We desire this relationship, this company, this fellowship with God in Jesus Christ. We also make profession. Yes, God cares for His people. God gives His people peace and pardon. Yet all these other things come into our life. Our faith is under attack. Sometimes we weaken and we falter in our walking, in our belief, in our practice. We're not as forceful, we're not as enthusiastic, we're not as confident as we once were. And people turn at us and say to us, "You talk about your God. Look at you. Just look at you. You're not anything compared to what we are. One time you lived at peace. Your life was undisturbed. And you say, yes, but what we lived like then was the peace of death. Now we know Christ. And the devil is snapping at your heels all the time. And just like we were saying in Psalm 73, in a moment of weakness, in a moment of doubt, we shout from our souls, is all this worth it? Am I doing this in vain? Why should I bother? We complain and we murmur. And the Lord is angry with his people when we ought to know better, when we ought to behave better, when we ought to trust better. Oh yes, as we go through the Christian life, these tests come and they batter us just a little to begin with. We're battered like they were with the bitter water needing bread. But although we might be battered a little, we are nevertheless strengthened a bit more. And we are ready for the next fight, the next test, the next tight corner. Sweet waters, sour words. Let me just close by saying this by way of application to us all. God has told us what he requires from us. He tells us what salvation is and the way to obtain it and to get it. He has told you and me, ignorance isn't our problem today. We all know what the gospel says, and he says, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way, no other person. But some will complain and murmur like we had here. I want to do things my way. I want God to take me on my ability, on my resources. I want to contribute something to my salvation for me to be in credit with God. And God says, no, that's not the way it is. He set out here very clearly the details of how they were to behave, how they were to gather the bread. We'll come to it next week. What they were going to do on different days and such like. And God expected, required, and looked for them to obey it. And if they did, everything was well. So with us. God tells us what we should do, how we should behave, what he requires of us to trust in Jesus Christ. And when we do it, we indeed will be safe. Just last week we were at our Lord's Supper. And remember one of the phrases, this do in remembrance of me. To keep this at the front of our minds, the center of our soul. Keep on doing it to remind ourselves what the Lord has done for us, because we can forget so easily. Things in life can pressurize us and push things to the edge that they fall off or fall out of our lives. God will be a God to us people. And we need to keep reminding ourselves of it. We also need to keep learning what he's doing in our lives. We need to keep on storing up the lessons he's teaching us. Which brings us right back to the beginning. Joshua. His testimony, the layers that he built up through his life of God's faithfulness to him. The more we learn, the more we discover, the more we can stand beside that man and say the same thing and say it with conviction and with meaning out of the depth of our own experience. We trust in God, and he has never let me down. Let's pray. O Lord, our gracious God, we bless thy name for thy word and the riches of it and its application to us and the way in which thou dost come and speak with us in our daily needs. Grant unto us, Lord, to linger in thy presence, to hold on to what thou dost say, and to apply it in our living. And we ask of thee, O Lord God, that in everything thou wouldst deal with us in thy grace and in thy mercy. For we ask it in the one name that is above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 81 and at verse 8. O thou, my people, give an ear, I testify to thee. To thee, O Lord, if thou wilt hear, but hearken, if thou wilt but hearken unto me. In midst of thee there shall not be any strange god at all, nor unto any god unknown thou bowing down shall fall. And then these words, I am the Lord thy God, which did from Egypt land thee guide. I'll fill thy mouth abundantly, do thou it open wide. But yet my people to my voice would not attentive be, and even my chosen Israel, he would have none of me. 81 and at verse 8 to 11, four stanzas. O thou my people, give an ear. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.